Hello and welcome to episode 344 of Sprague and Say Geek. I'm Matt.
And I'm Hammer.
And this is our Week in Geek. This week we bring you our review of Birds of Prey, our streaming review of The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Thank you for that.
You're welcome, buddy.
We won't forget to talk about The Mandalorian this time around.
Yes.
But we don't actually have, like, nerd news to talk about, which is really weird. There's stuff that happens, I'm like,
Lots like, what is it? You've had the whole talk about, like, PlayStation 5 and Xbox, like, their next, like, series. Like, and I'm like, come on, dude. Just wait. It's going to come out. It's going to be whatever it's going to be.
Apparently, their Knives Out sequel was greenlit.
Oh.
And I'm like, why? Like, I really liked Knives Out, but where do you go from there?
I don't know.
It just doesn't work for me.
I feel like it was a good standalone.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, again, I liked Knives Out. Keep Rian Johnson away from Star Wars. I really liked Knives Out.
Yeah, he can do his own fun stuff. Not really much else came out. Like, I know there was... Shit.
There were Super Bowl trailers.
I didn't watch any of the trailers.
We got the trailer for the Marvel Disney stuff.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah.
We can talk about that when we get to it. But we'll go ahead and start with our spoiler-free review of Birds of Prey. As you've seen from the trailers, Joker and Harley have broken up. Black Mask is in it. Huntress, Black Canary are there. The hyena is there.
Yep. And other people.
Insane. There's a lot of one-line quippy, funny little moments. Harley is much more... It's hard to explain how... Like, Margot Robbie really got into Harley this time around, and you get to see different sides of Harley that you didn't get to see in Suicide Squad. The fight choreography is awesome. The color palette's really good.
It's very pretty.
Like, it looks like a comic book movie. It's probably not a good movie, but it's a really good comic book movie.
Yeah.
It's one to turn your brain off and watch, and I hate when people say that. Like, that actually gets on my nerves of, like, if you try to think about this movie, you're not going to like it. Like, Transformers. But, like, there's not an overabundance of plot where you're like, no, that doesn't work. You've taken me out of the movie. It's a simple, basically a simple thread of, like, this is happening.
Yeah.
There you go. There are some logic jumps that you have to make sometimes, but that you get that with comic book movies.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie's still amazing as Harley. Yeah. But yeah, I had a good time with this movie. I liked it.
I was surprisingly happy with it, honestly.
Yeah.
It is very pretty.
About halfway through, I'm like, huh, I'm having fun.
It was like, well, I think it was like 15 minutes in. I was like, huh, that's not too bad. And I like that's how, like, usually you can tell how a movie's gonna go from the beginning of it. Like, it kind of sets that tone, and by then I was like, you know what, I'm okay. This is gonna be good. I'm gonna have at least fun with this. And by the end I was like, all right, cool. There were some cool action scenes. It's super fucking colorful. Yeah, you might be right,
because like, I was pretty much like Last Jedi. I was out with like the first 15 minutes of like once the your mom joke hit. I was like,
Like, it's literally like that within those little bits. It's setting the tone of the rest of the movie. But it's also, like, if you are out by that point, it's going to be really hard to pull you back in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie is, like, it's pretty. It's got a lot of colors. It does a lot more.
The choreography is awesome.
I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it later on. Like, but I enjoyed it because it pulls back and lets you see what actually goes on.
And especially because Harley's not a superhero.
No, she's just...
She's just a girl.
Yeah.
That is insane, but, like, she doesn't have superpowers or anything... Until she snorts some cocaine.
Yeah.
But, like...
Teaching you real lessons.
She's fun, and she has fun with her character, and like, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, and they set up a bunch of their other characters. I actually was more interested, and I liked how, again, the best way I can think is they leveled a bunch of characters so they all fit in a universe with her. Which,
whatever.
But that, for the most part, that made sense. Like everyone had either, like, you had to make him a little bit darker, you had to make him a little bit lighter.
I didn't even know that this character was in the movie.
Yeah.
And then watching the movie, and I'm like, is that who I think it is? But they don't say his name for a while. Yeah. And I was like, and then they say his name. I was like, no, you did my boy wrong.
Oh my God. But yeah, I had fun with it. I would say go see it. It was fun. And that is not a bad thing to want.
No.
It left me wanting a little bit more in some areas. Definitely some pacing parts. Not like drastically issues, right. But if you see the trailer and that eclectic weirdness is what you're interested in, that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Which, cool. I would say go see it, though. I had fun.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I would definitely say go see it. We'll come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review, but now we're going to get to our streamer review.
I love you, buddy.
Which was brought to us by you.
I did want us to watch The Last Black Man in San Francisco. I heard a lot about it during, Oscar season, whatever it was. I don't know. I always get the awards mixed up. But it was talked about a lot in a lot of podcasts I listened to, so I was really curious about it because I had no idea what the fuck it was about. And that's how we got The Last Black Man in San Francisco on Amazon Prime. So, this is a long movie. And this movie feels long.
It's only 2 hours.
It feels longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is that it is very prettily shot, but it feels really weird. And someone was telling me that it was actually, or I was reading a couple articles, and there is one where it was saying it was from the same, I think it was A24, the studio, I can't remember if it was A24 or something else, but the same studio that brought you this also brought you, what is it? Sorry to Bother You. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. Like, as in, like, just the feel and what they're going for. There are some moments that I really liked out of this movie. But the movie as a whole, I did not. It's very odd, very disjointed, honestly a little hard to follow at points. Like, my favorite scene, 100%, hands down, favorite scene, I can tell you what it was. It was just that whole point when the, what is it? God, I can't remember his name. Shit, one of the guys gets killed. And one of the... Kofi, yes. And they go back out there, and the guy's about ready to fight. And then literally just, like, you can see it in his eyes. Like, whoever that actor was, I actually really loved his damn performance. But he, like, you can see in his eyes, like, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you because he feels like he has to.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up just, like, putting his hand up there and crying. And I'm like, that's real. I like that. That is my favorite scene in the movie. The rest of the movie was just kind of exhausting.
So it's about a guy who...
Yes.
Who lives with his best friend in San Francisco, and he loves this particular house that his grandfather built, and he basically wants to own the house. He feels like it's his family heirloom.
Yeah.
Everybody in his family has given up on it. He wants to have the house. So he goes by sometimes and, like, starts preparing the house while people still live there. At one point, the lady that lives there is moving out because her and her sister got in a fight,
A grandparent passed away, and then there's dispute over, like, inheritance.
So him and his friend move in and basically claim squatter's rights.
Yep.
Yeah. And then come to find out, like, the house was built way before his grandfather came around.
Like, it was during, like, the, when... Like,
the 1800s, and he thought his grandfather built it in, like, 1940 or whatever.
And it's against what he was telling. Like, he was telling the story about the reason why his father or grandfather built it is because he didn't want to take over the houses that the Japanese... the people that were kicked out of because of, like, the internment camps and everything like that. But it is exactly that. They took over a house because of the internment stuff, and he's like, oh...
So it's the allegory of, you know,
gentrification.
Well, it's gentrification. It's also you're not your family. Like, you can be your own person. You don't have to worry about your family. Like, he's tied up so much in his family that he never decided to be his own man. Like, his whole drive in life is to have that house.
Yeah.
Other than that, he has no drive in life. He is searching for a family because he's, you know, he used to live with his... Dad? Uncle at a halfway house or
that was his dad.
No, his dad was the one that was doing the DVD things.
Oh yeah,
he lived with the guy in the car or whatever.
Yeah,
and I think it was a halfway house that they said they lived together. He lived with his best friend with his uncle in a single bedroom house. Like, the idea of the story I really like.
Yes.
The movie's not executed well, I don't feel at all.
Yeah.
It's very slow. There's not even a lot of character there to go with. Quentin Tarantino thinks they use the N-word a lot.
Like, I didn't feel like I will actually, you told me about that, and like, I hadn't watched it yet. I don't feel like it was as bad as you thought it was. I feel like Django Unchained was way, well, like, used the word way more.
I don't know.
But it was also mainly used by, like, the gangster characters.
Yes.
But I agree with you, Holler. Like, the concept sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
The concept is, I feel, pretty damn solid. The idea of literally being pushed out of it. The idea, like, he keeps putting, if you think about it, he started, like, his life starts here in, like, more, like, central San Francisco. And then he literally gets pushed out again and again and again to the point where he's almost right by the bay. That scene where there's a little girl dancing around people in, like, full-on gear kind of shit like that. You're like, wow. Okay. Like, he's getting so pushed out to the point where even the end, he's literally on a boat getting the fuck out of there kind of thing. It's just, like, that's how far the city changes and evolves, but he's trying to hold on to an old ideal that is no longer there and is never really valid in the first place. And that concept, fucking cool, because I think it's something people can relate to.
Yeah.
But I got exhausted. And it took me... This movie took me like 3-4 times. Like, and I was like late in the go. It took me 3-4 times to finish this as a period of time.
It took me 5 days.
I couldn't imagine sitting through a theater. I think I would have gotten frustrated sitting in a theater watching this.
Oh yeah, it's just not, I mean, I'm going to say skip it. I can't recommend this at all.
I'm going to say skip it too. Like, look up, like, honestly, look up synopsis of the movie. Look up the concept, because the concept and the discussions are more prevalent than the movie itself.
That, and maybe watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Because the trailer shows you what you're going to get, and it's very slow and, like, nothing in the trailer, and that's what you're going to get from the movie, is slow. Yep. And nothing in the movie. Like, it's... I really wish I could have liked this movie. I wish I could have too. But
I like one scene in particular, because I feel like that scene was powerful.
I like the scene where his friend is up there acting, and, like, he's never been part of the gangster life, and he's acting like a gangster, and then he's... you know, yelling at people over, you didn't know this person and you're asking for, you know, thoughts and prayers because of this person that died, and you don't even know, you haven't seen this person in 12 years, 14 years. Like, I really liked him, and he's yelling at people and he's like, your grandfather didn't build this, blah, blah, blah. You're more than what this house is, blah, blah, blah. Like, I actually liked that scene.
Mm-hmm.
If the movie had more of those, I would have liked it.
Yeah.
There's not enough here to go on.
I agree with you. I'm like, I'm very much skip it, too.
All right, well, I'm going to completely ruin your world.
Oh, no.
On Amazon Prime, we are going to watch Midsommar.
Oh.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't want to watch this.
You did?
I did. Remember, we talked about this.
I can't remember. So we're going to watch Midsommar on Amazon Prime. As always, if you have anything else you want us to watch on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus, HBO Go, which I haven't even gone into HBO in a while, actually.
I haven't either. Well, because I feel like it's literally once a month I'll go there and see if there's anything good, and then it'll refresh generally every month.
I need to, like, watch Watchmen. I need to watch...
I do need to watch Watchmen. I want to watch His Dark
Materials. Westworld.
I need to finish season 2 of Westworld, because season 1 was so good.
Have I finished season 1? Yes. Yeah, so finish season 1. Yeah, I'm in season 2. Yeah.
Season 2 lost apparently a lot of people, but... yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let us know at those locations.
locations. Sorry, I know you're doing the hard work, I'm making fun of you, so I apologize. Yeah.
No. Let us know anything you want us to watch on those streaming services, and we'll give it a go. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to... no, we're not.
Nerd news.
We're going to start with what you've been playing.
I actually powered on my PlayStation 4 for not streaming services. I started playing Jedi Fallen Order again.
I need you to beat it so I can play it.
I know. Yay for buying physical discs. I'm liking it. Like, it, I played it for, like, a long fucking time. Like, I had a little bit of time off the other day, and I was just playing through a shit ton of it. It was fun. I like the game a lot better than I do in the beginning, because it's very much one of those, as you start to get more of your powers, more of the other stuff, like combat becomes more dynamic. Even like the quick time, like combat stuff is more fun. I want to beat the game, not because I hate it, but I do want to finish it so I can move on to other things. And that sounds terrible. Not like with like Tomb Raider, I want to just finish to get rid of it. I want to finish because I'm getting this real bad hankering to want to play God of War again. Like, real bad. But I don't want to... real bad. But I don't want to... I'm getting a clue. Raging clue. But I don't want to stop it, because I'm actually enjoying the game. It's fun. It is far from perfect. It is not... I do think there are rose-tinted glasses, because it is a Star Wars property that people are like, oh, it's really... I'm like, one, the graphics aren't that good. Like, the CG, like, well, like the cutscenes and stuff.
You're also on a base PlayStation.
No,
on
a no, it's going to look 10-year-old worse. TV. It's going to look worse on your screen. Like, I guarantee it. Like, it is janky at points.
Okay. I guess, well, I mean, we'll find out.
Yeah, like, the cinematics, the character models and stuff like that, they're just not... Like, they're not up to the par that I'd want them. I feel like the gameplay, once you've earned your points to spend on these other abilities and stuff, it feels more fluid and better, but for the beginning part of it, it feels boring with the combat, and I was just like, meh. So I'm enjoying it more and more as I go into it. I can't wait to finish it. I thought there'd be more worlds, and I think I'm tapped out of it. I think I've gotten all the worlds that I'm
going to get. Oh, okay, that's what you mean. Okay.
Like, I was like, oh, I'm waiting to get the next world, but now we're just starting the point of revisiting and stuff. Still, again, fun. I don't feel like this... Again, I haven't felt that, like, super love for the story yet, though. Which is kind of sad. Because I don't think I'm going to get it at this point. I don't think I'm going to have my wow moment.
Okay.
But I would recommend it. It's still fun to play. And I like Respawn. I want Respawn to make more games. Because I really do feel like, gameplay-wise, I don't know about the story shit, but gameplay-wise, I feel like they have a good grasp and stuff.
What about you? I mean, I played a little bit of Titanfall multiplayer, and I was like, God, this is frenetic as fuck, but this is good.
You're going to feel it sometimes when you're jumping around and doing the platforming elements. That's where it's going to really feel like Titanfall. It's not 100%, but you'll feel that.
I've been playing Fable.
You even pulled up your fucking, like, strategy
guide. I had my strategy guide from, God, 2004, that I still just had. I was like... Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, why can't I... I remember, like, doing this quest... Like, their quest system is weird. You can't, like, make a quest an active quest, essentially. You can zoom into a specific area, but you can't be like, I want to do this quest right now, and it'll just give you the wayfinders to go that way. So it's... Again, we've been spoiled lately. Yes. The going into the Heroes Guild is janky as fuck. If there are... people populating an area, it slows down to like 15 frames a second.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. But I'm still having a lot of fun with it. I forgot that it's actually relatively short. There are 5 chapters, I believe, and I'm on chapter 3.
Oh damn.
I only play for like an hour a day, so it's not like I'm playing, like I play in the mornings before everybody's awake, so I'm not, like, this is one of those you can mainline through and beat in a day, I feel. That's
so crazy.
Yeah, but there's still a lot there. It's still... I mean, for me, it's still fun. Now I'm probably looking at it with my own bias and my own rose-tinted glasses of like, I love Fable, so this is great. But I love Fable, and it's great, so I don't care.
That's okay.
But yeah, that's all I've been playing is Fable. I haven't played anything else yet, sadly.
Yeah, that's all right. That's kind of what I want
to
beat.
I haven't even opened up my PlayStation Plus games to download... my free ones yet.
Well, it's just Bioshock, right?
Bioshock and Sims and...
Yeah. Oh, and the VR one, too.
Fire Team.
Yeah.
Which I hope we can download from Plus, and you don't have to do it from the VR.
You might be able to do it from, like, the web app kind of thing, at least.
All right, but we're going to go ahead and get to our spoiler-filled review of Episode 7 of The Mandalorian. Oh, we forgot. We keep forgetting, because that's what we do.
It's The Mandalorian.
Ooh.
It's true, though. Like, it was really powerful when it was going on, but I've thought more about The Witcher in the past couple weeks than I have about The Mandalorian. That's my thought.
I mean, I enjoyed both, and I enjoyed them for their own different reasons. We haven't finished The Witcher yet, so I can't really comment too much on The Witcher. With Episode 7 of The Mandalorian. You finally get everybody to go back to Discount Tatooine. Mm-hmm. Discount Jakku. And then
Jakuine.
Whatever the planet was in episode 9. Fucking whatever.
Episode 9.
Remember where they were having the rave? You remember the rave of Star Wars episode 9?
Yeah. I don't remember the rave. I don't remember much about episode 9 right now.
Jesus, you are still drunk.
No, I'm not drunk. I'm actually very, very...
You don't remember the rave?
No.
That's where...
You can't talk about it. Yeah. All right.
This stuff... They fly now? They fly now! Because that's in the trailer, so I'll give you that one.
Oh, you mean Burning Man, right.
They have the same difference, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you not remember that? It was...
But this is also the first, like, the band is coming back together, that they're essentially...
Yeah, this is all those characters they built up, you know.
Because you have, what's her name?
Gina Carano's back. Carl Weathers is back. The old man, I Have Spoken, is back. Yes. Is there anybody I'm missing?
Taika Waititi as the...
The droid is back. Yeah,
the nanny droid.
So they're all back, and you finally get to see, like, the child is really strong with the Force, and he heals Carl Weathers, who got shot in an ambush at one point.
Oh, yeah, because this is supposed to be important for the movie.
Yes.
Which I was like, huh. Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It is, but huh.
It's kind of... broken now, though. Like, the more they're adding to...
Agreed.
...the canon, the more stuff gets broken, because then, like, why didn't Anakin just heal Padme?
Because it was her heart that was broken. You can't fix that. She died of a broken heart? What are you? I love Dr. Ball. Oh my god, I love Dr. Ball so much.
You can die from a broken heart, so I get it.
No...
It's
fucking ice cream scoop.
It's badly written. I like the concept of it. Again.
Dude, poorly executed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like all those poor kids.
The Mandalorian leaves the child with, I can't remember his name at this point. It's been a few weeks.
I Have Spoken and Taika Waititi with the droid, basically.
Well, he just leaves it with...
And he's upset about the droid, spoken. Too, yeah.
Because it will be around the droid. They go down to... was it this one? No, it was the next one. Ooh, I almost... Because this one bleeds into the next one really
well. The last two episodes are very much... They're very much one story, but this is like the most impactful story, I think.
But what's his name calls... somebody, and you know, Sarah was like, do you think it's gonna be Snoke? I was like, no, it's gonna be the dude from Breaking Bad. She's like, who's the dude from Breaking Bad? I'm like, the guy in here. And so they say his name, and I was like, oh, it's Moff Jared, or was it Moff something?
Yeah.
She's like, who's that? I'm like, the dude from Breaking Bad. Well, she's like, but who is that? I'm like, him.
Yeah.
He's like, but who is he in Star Wars? I'm like, him. Mm-hmm. Like, this is our first introduction.
Yep.
This is him. She's like, oh, all right. They shoot up basically the cantina where everybody was at.
And they kill the one dude who is the guy that gave the quest originally.
The old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the...
I love his, like, inflection. I don't know, the way he talks.
He talks is really weird. And really good, but, yeah. You have stormtroopers show up in old stormtrooper gear,
mm-hmm.
but their uniforms are sparkly clean.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, like, the Empire hasn't fallen after... Episode 9 or episode 6. The Empire's still around. It just isn't all encompassing as it was.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I like or not.
I mean, it makes sense because it's just killing one make person sense. Like, yes. Doesn't mean everything. It's like the idea of like who's the blue guy that they use a lot as the admiral. I can't remember his name. He's like a blue admiral and like he's part of the Empire, and that's one of the guys that everyone thought was going to come in. like...
Oh, Thrawn?
Thrawn, that's okay. It. Thank you. But, like, the idea is, like, you can have a strong leader among those people and can keep people together to an ideal, even though that your head person dies. So I kind of like that as just everyone kind of... They broke up amongst Moff, so you have, like, different people holding different areas together. So it makes sense.
I mean, you have mob bosses that hold territories, and...
And that's where, like, that makes sense what would lead into, like, the kind of the idea of the First Order stuff, is that you have a bunch of those, if you bring those mob bosses together, your band's back together kind of thing.
Right. But basically, they shoot up the area, and they're like, hey, we want the kid. At this point, Nick Nolte, which I can't remember, but I Have Spoken guy, has the baby.
Yep.
And at the end of the episode, you see him get shot by two speeder bikers, and they pick up the kid, take off, and then boom, boom.
That was a very good rendition, by the way.
This was actually an episode where it was like, oh, shit's happening. Mm-hmm. Finally, shit is happening. I liked this episode. I was excited that shit happened.
Yes. It felt like it actually... I liked it just because it used the characters and it made them... gave them purpose. Like, there was an ongoing purpose. Like, it felt like an overarching story, finally. Everything kind of came back. And I like that. That's the part that made this exciting. These last few episodes are what actually made me like the series before I was kind of ambivalent about it.
Right. I mean, the first six episodes are build-up.
Yep.
But they aren't building towards anything.
Yeah.
At least you don't feel like they are. And I still don't feel like they're building.
I don't know what their direction is overall.
No. I liked it, and I think... But mainly I liked it because it's Star Wars and Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. If you take Baby Yoda out, as a Star Wars show, I'm like, ah. Mm-hmm. Like, Baby Yoda saves the show.
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean, yes. Yes, it does. Because I think, yes. Yes, it does. Yes. It really does. Like, no matter the cool stuff you see that the Mando does, yeah. It's Baby Yoda.
Right.
Which is funny because I'm pretty sure Baby Yoda was written near the end of that thing and was not meant to be as big of a part of it originally. I really don't feel like it was.
But he's been the key
figure of every episode. Like, that's not how... I feel like everything was, like, skewed towards that. I feel like the idea, especially how it was supposed to be episode for episode, was supposed to be, like, random, like, different stuff. It was just going to be the Mando taking on different bounties. And then, like, what if we did the byline? Is it him with, like, the baby? Like, I really feel like it was written after, like, once they started screening and realized how big it was, like, put it in everything.
It'd be interesting to see what their original thought was, but we'll never know, and it doesn't matter.
Because it's the mouse. The mouse doesn't want us to know. Did you see that whole, like, meme where it showed, Christopher Tolkien when he passed away? And it showed Disney after Christian Tolkien passed away. They're like, hey, looking through the blinds. I'm like, oh my God, at the Lord of the Rings. I'm like, please don't. You don't need another thing. Please don't buy Lord of the Rings. They very well probably will try, though.
I'm sure. I like this episode.
Yep. Sorry.
I'm excited to see what they do with season two. At some point, like, when does Baby Yoda become a person?
Yeah.
You know, with his own character with... language.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do that unless they do a lot of time jumps, I guess.
I mean, you don't have to. Who knows when we don't know anything about his species, so who knows when they start talking?
Yeah. I don't know, it's one of those same things I think about the Baby Groot effect. Baby Groot was adorable for, like, the bit that we had, but then it went to Teenage Groot and it was like, meh. So if you give, like, Teenage Yoda, they're like, meh.
I don't know, because, I mean, well...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yep.
We shall
see. So we'll come back later, next week, with our talk of the season finale of The Mandalorian. I saw a new trailer for Mulan.
I haven't seen
it. On Birds of Prey. Fuck. I can't wait. Really?
I'm still, like, cautiously optimistic. Like, it's, like, the same way I approach Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Like, I don't want it. Like, I genuinely don't.
This is one I actually do. Because it feels like... So with the animated movies, what they did was they took stories and then they turned them into Disney movies.
Yeah.
And it looks... Like, so far what they've done with their live action stuff is they're like, we're going to take the exact same thing and just make it live action. You're like... Oh. Okay. This looks like they took the inspiration from their cartoon and made a movie from it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like almost a one-for-one shot, just correct, live action. And that's what makes me excited of, like, this looks like it could be an epic fucking movie.
I don't think it's going to be. I think that's my, like, I'm being super negative
on it. No, I get it.
And I love, like, what you're saying. 100%, that's what I love. I love the idea, like, it also almost has the, like, again, taking, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, shit like that, Hero, taking a lot of those, like, more of the Chinese epics, and it's kind of making that feeling of it, too, like, with the whole witch and the way they're fighting and stuff like that, it right, has that feel, which is cool. Like, it's something you don't see very often here because it's not our style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very neat to see, like, a different style with the production qualities of our kind of movies, essentially. Like, I love that idea, but I just, I don't know. It feels really hot. Like, I watch it, I don't get excited by the trailer.
Let's see. Did we talk about Fast and Furious last week?
Yeah, we did.
Because I couldn't remember.
Yeah, we did. You were so upset about it.
Dude.
It...
Did you see the trailer for Bloodshot?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for Bloodshot before.
It looks like a comic book movie.
It is a comic book movie.
No, but it looks like a comic book movie. If it wasn't Vin Diesel, I'd be like, yeah, it's Vin Diesel. I'm like, God damn it.
Yep.
Like, if it was Ryan Reynolds, which I hate him being in every comic book movie, but, like, I love Ryan Reynolds, like, so, like...
It's funny because I remember this a while ago. It was the... It's not Vertigo. It's Victory... Shit, what's the ones that do Bloodshot and a bunch of the other ones? I can't remember the damn name of it.
I thought it was... It's not Dark Horse or IDW, is it?
It's not... No. Fuck, I can't remember. But it's, like, a company that I was like, huh. Because they sold the movie rights a while back. And they have a bunch of weird ones, like Archer and Armstrong. I know Bloodshot's a part of it. Shit, there's a couple of them out there that are... They're like, no, like, people don't know them unless you're into comics kind of thing. But they're like, we sold a bunch of theirs for movie rights. They're going to make their own expanded universe, and Bloodshot's their first one. And that was 4 or 5 years ago we talked about it, because I remember talking to Ken about it. Huh. And it's so odd to see it. I'm like, oh, they actually are doing it. I have no idea how good it's going to be.
It doesn't, I mean, it's going to be Vin Diesel, so, like, I'm not going to want to see it, but I will see it, because, like, I like the concept of it.
Yeah.
They bring somebody back to life, they have him murder whoever they want him to murder, and then they wipe his memory and have him do it again. I'm like, that's a great concept. But it's Vin Diesel. Why?
Because it's Vin Diesel.
But I'm going to do this thing over here.
Family is family.
I used to live my life a quarter mile at a time. Fucking dude, every time I see that trailer, I'm like,
we saw it again, and I was in the theater and I looked over and I was like, no. And I got the same look back of no.
But people keep seeing these fucking things, and like, they're gonna, and then he's like, for part 10, we want it to be a two-parter.
I heard about
that. And I was like, God damn it!
I heard about it. I was like, are you trying to make this like the Avengers and Infinity War kind of shit?
Because Harry Potter did it first. Give credit where credit's due.
But I mean,
although I think did Twilight do it? No, Twilight did it after.
Yeah, Twilight did do it after.
Okay. But yeah.
Oh my god. I was like, no, we don't need you to spread this out anymore.
No.
Oh, well, because it's going to have like that way, so like Hobbs and Shaw can have their own movie in between and then come back and be like, look at us.
Dude, it's weird that they're gone though.
It's noticeable.
It is noticeable, and I wonder if they bring it up.
Yeah.
Or if they just be like, nah, you don't need to worry about them. We brought Han back.
So weird. Dude, yeah. I don't know if I ever actually want to go back and watch all the Fast and Furious movies, and I don't think I ever will.
It's so funny that they started out as like car movies.
Yes, and now they're weird bombastic action flicks.
They're superhero, the cars are superheroes.
Yes.
Where they do these things, you're like, that's no.
That's not how cars work.
They're like driving down buildings and parachuting at, and I'm like,
I remember when I thought driving between two buildings, skyscrapers in Dubai was odd. And now I'm like,
now you're that's swinging cute on rope vines.
You're like, that is quaint.
Magnetic fucking planes and shit.
Dude, all I can think about is Spy Hunter when I saw that. Yeah.
I just...
Just don't even try, buddy.
Yeah. I'm trying to... Any other trailers that I
saw? No, I don't. No.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, so...
And it goes out with a pop.
We will we'll go ahead and get to this week's pod question, which was brought to us by you.
I want
to
know what was your favorite free thing, and I said or stolen because I thought about TK, but I realized TK only does it when he's drunk, and usually he's not drunk at cons. Funny enough, he didn't steal anything when we were at this last beer fest. I was actually kind of surprised.
Are you sure?
I'm gonna find out. You just don't know about it yet? No, like I'll find out about it. I'm like, oh. But I want to know what was a free thing or stolen thing that you had from a con. Your favorite thing.
We got an answer from Bugs, who went with a Japanese sword display that he got from Salt Lake City when they were doing their teardown. Somebody left it behind.
That's kind of awesome.
That's fun. Like
I love that teardown stuff because
they leave a bunch of stuff behind. They do. So I get it, and it's there for the taking. And he also corrected us on what the Isle of Man is. It's
yes. An actual. I saw that whole description.
Yeah, it's an island in the UK where they do motorcycle races, and then the TT stands for time trial. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like I forgot about like.
We don't know motorcycle.
When it comes to racing, I'm way out of, like, I'm sure the Hetero Life Man will yell at me, no, racing's fucking great. No, racing's fucking left-hand turns all day.
Thank you, Bugs. I appreciate it.
Keep the steering wheel to the left and the radio and the volume dial to the right. All right.
Oh, my God.
Ricky Rackman. We got an answer from TK as well. He got a Republic Commando patch. From like he didn't say where he got it from, but he got a Republic Commando patch, and like that's one of those that's kind of forgotten. One, like the Republic Commando game is.
Fuck. I was actually talking to someone about that recently. No, I was looking at a bunch of old YouTube videos where we were talking about like the what happened to the other game, like Battlefront 3 before it became picked up by EA and stuff right. like that. And one of those, like, there's supposed to be a Republic Commando 2, and I'm like, oh.
I mean, Republic Commando was. Was really underrated. I don't think enough people played it.
No, I haven't played it since, so I'm sure it doesn't age well, but fuck, I remember it so
far. Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't age. I mean, I'm playing Fable, and it didn't age well, and this, I'm playing the remaster, or, well, the HD collection, or whatever you want to call it, and they didn't HD that thing up. Like, I don't know what they did to it.
But they didn't do enough.
No. No.
Honestly, we'll do a good job with a remake.
I think so.
Because then they could add a lot of the quality of life things to it, which would probably make a yes. big difference.
I don't know if they would do it, but you could throw Obsidian on it and be like, hey, just do this for a launch title for Xbox or whatever. You don't have to, like, the quests can, almost everything can be the same, you just have to spruce it up a little bit.
Yep.
But, I don't know what they do. I thought about this, and I actually haven't really received a lot of free stuff from Con, which is depressing.
Yeah.
Like, I was going through a bunch of things, and I'm like, wow, I've got wipes for glasses, I got a sunglass kit, and a lanyard, and I'm like, the only thing that I still have that I use would be my Paranormal Activity Lost Souls t-shirt that we got from the VR experience. Fuck,
I remember that so much.
That is the only thing that I can think of offhand of, like, something that I got for free at Con.
All right.
Super depressing. Aww. And I'm like, man, I need to get more free shit then.
Yeah, good shit.
What's yours?
Mine is my badge that I got signed by Stan Lee, because I did it for Volunteer One. But it was, like, literally one of those I didn't expect. Like, you don't expect that. You're like, oh, it'd be really cool. But
right.
literally, I have it, and I've lost and found that thing so many times. It's now, like put in bubble wrap and stuff like that. Because I found it literally, like, about a week after I think Stan Lee died again when I was doing some organization and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, oh, shit. But it was, like, it's still one of those things. And I'm like, fuck, I actually have that. But I got it because did the volunteer work, did right. all that stuff. And it was, like, the last minute, like, right as he's leaving kind of thing, and got it signed. And it was just... It's a cool thing. It's not worth shit, like, kind of thing like that to anyone else, but, like, sentimental value, I'm like, I fucking love that. But otherwise, that, I tried thinking about other things that I got, and there's not a lot.
Yeah, I'm not getting a lot.
I used to love getting the buttons and stuff from, like, San Diego Comic-Con. They just give you fucking buttons as you're going in there, and I used to love collecting those and putting them on my bag, and periodically they just fall off and get lost to time, but,
yeah. Just like, fuck it, I don't need them anymore.
Yep. Well, I wouldn't realize until later, I'm like, oh. Missing a few.
All right. So for this week's pod question, I want to know, what is your favorite video game controller?
Oh, I already know mine. 100%.
Jesus.
God. I knew about it, like, way... I think I remember talking about it on a podcast episode not too long ago.
I mean, we may have. Who knows?
Oh, no, no. I mean, like, not as a question. I know I started this thing, like, I know this one.
I mean, we may have had this as a question, too. Who knows? We're years old into this thing. I don't write everything down. Let us know your answers at BattenHammer@gmail.com, BattenHammer on Twitter, Sprig and Zig Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I'm at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Crown Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, something like Stitcher.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get to our spoiler-filled review of Birds of Prey. So if you don't want to hang around for that, you've been listening to episode 344 of Sprig and Zig Geek. So we're Sprig and Zig Geek. I'm Bat.
And I'm Aaron.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into the spoiler-filled review of Birds of Prey and the dumbest title in the history of mankind. Like... The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn?
Yeah.
No. What? I would have preferred, like, Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, yeah. Or Birds of Prey, or Harley Quinn, or the Gotham Sirens, or just something other, like... Don't be in the South Central and South in LA while drinking your juice in the hood or whatever. Oh my
God, I remember that.
Yeah, you don't. No, whoever thought this title was a good title, no. And I think that was the original title. I don't even think Birds of Prey was on it originally, and I think Birds of Prey got added because they were like, we need to do something about this title.
I feel like because I don't remember the Birds of Prey thing. Like it literally was. Like, the Birds of Prey was the subtitle, which...
Yeah.
When you see the movie, it kind of makes sense why that would be the subtitle. Sure. Because literally, the Birds of Prey is not the main point, obviously.
Right, which is fine, but holy cow.
Yeah.
Anyway. This takes place after Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn has broken up with Joker, and she has decided to kind of be her own woman. In being her own woman, she no longer is... protected by Joker's essence, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody in Gotham finds her as free game, and the main person that finds her as free game is Black Mask.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And his driving force is that he wants a diamond to make money so that he can have control of Gotham with money.
Mm-hmm. Basic.
So he sends a dude with Harley Quinn... Who, they never gave this guy a name. I don't know why they didn't give him a name.
like, you try to avoid this shit so hard. Because he's not yours ass.
They did my boy wrong.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm right, just pausing for a moment. Zaz is the one who's supposed to shoot the Wayans, right? Or am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay,
who's that? Joe Chill.
Oh, okay. So who is Zaz?
Zaz is the mass murderer dude who every time he kills somebody, he marks them on his body.
Okay.
But he's not slapstick.
Yeah.
He's not stupid. He's very calculated and very smart, and this is just a dumbass henchman who happens to cut people.
And himself.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Like, fuck this Zaz. Like, he's the worst part of this movie for me, by far.
He's not the worst part of the movie for me.
Well, you don't... But you also don't care about Zaz.
Yeah, so. Like, Zaz isn't, like... Like, he's... Zaz is probably the level of Killer Croc with me.
Oh, no, Killer Croc's way down. Like, Killer
Croc... Yeah, that's what I mean. Zaz is Killer Croc are probably about the same level for me, knowledge-wise, so... But, yes. But, okay, so now I know. I thought it was I was getting confused with Joe Chill.
No, he's a random random mob guy.
Yeah.
Who happens to kill the Waynes. Unless you're Tim Burton and it was Joker, but anyway. So they were sent to steal the Burtonelli diamond, which is the family diamond of
the person who's the Huntress, her family basically.
Essentially, but so they're getting the diamond because encrypted into the diamond is the bank accounts for offshore accounts, which is untapped riches for Sionis, who is Black Mask.
I forgot his name, Matt Bravo.
Well, I mean, Batman. Yeah. So the random dude and Harley Quinn go get the diamond from a bank. Did they just walk in and get the... Like, they don't show how they got the diamond. Was it in a safety deposit box? Like,
I mean, literally.
They just walk in, they walk out of the bank, like, here, here's your diamond. And I was like, well, how'd you get the diamond? But okay.
Oh, when Zaz and, what's her name?
When the random guy and Harley walk out of the bank.
It wasn't Harley.
Yeah, it was?
No, it wasn't Harley.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. It's,
Oh, no, you're right, it was Canary.
It's Canary.
You're right, I'm sorry, I'm very
Canary's,
sorry.
That's all right. No, that's why, like, Canary, yep. That's why I was like, are you just you're fucking right. things
no, up? No, 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 I'm fucking yeah. things up, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So, like, yeah, you really don't want to call him Zaz.
No.
But I think they were just essentially picking it up. Yep. But they didn't really say how important that part was. Obviously, it was just like a...
But it was kind of important because, like, that diamond is super important, so... whatever. So, yeah, it's Canary. It is sent to go retrieve the car. Zaz holds on to the diamond. He gets pickpocketed by...
Cassandra Cain.
Cassandra Cain.
That's Catwoman, right? Or supposed to be?
No.
Who's Cassandra Cain?
I don't know.
Fuck, I know Cassandra... Oh, is she Batgirl?
I don't know.
I think she is Batgirl.
Is she?
I think so. Because I know Cassandra Cain.
I thought Gordon was Batgirl.
No, no, but there's like another Batgirl. The one that has like the stitched like mouth and stuff like that. Oh,
yeah, see, I don't know. That's out of my wheelhouse. So she pickpockets the diamond. She gets sent to jail or sent to the precinct. While there, everybody kind of finds out that she has it. And Sionis puts out an APB on her of like, you know, half a mil to whoever gets her. Harley goes into the bank or into the... to police station, rescues her essentially, and is going to turn her over to Sionis, and then like, eventually the ladies all meet up, in the end.
Mm-hmm.
The movie has some pacing issues.
I would agree on that. Yeah.
Some real bad pacing issues. The climax basically reminds me a lot of Batman and Robin. You know when they're fighting in the funhouse.
Yes, kind of. It's been a while since I've seen Batman Run. I think I get the feeling you're going with, though.
But it feels way cartoony, which is...
Very in line with this movie.
Which is okay. Margot Robbie's still great as Harley. Mm. I like how she is processing her emotions for Joker of like, yeah, he was a piece of shit, but I loved him, and I'm fine. That's kind of what everybody says, is like, no, I'm handling it okay when they're fucking completely broken and
yeah.
You know, she's handling real life heartbreak like a real life person would.
Mostly, yeah.
Save the ace explosion.
Yeah.
And adopting a hyena, but whatever. I actually really like this movie.
I did not expect you to get there. With all that, I was like, okay, I'm going to see where this goes.
I had a lot of fun with this movie. It's probably not a good movie, but it's a really good comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I mean, this is what a comic would, more what a comic would look like on the screen than like what we get out of Man of Steel or Iron Man or something where those are
realistic movies.
Yeah, more realistic. This is real, kind of over the top. There are some nods to Suicide Squad. Like, there's a poster of Captain Boomerang. I know that guy. I was like, fun. Ha! But the movie bombed in the box office. So, again, Jai Courtney, keep him away from everything that you're ever doing, apparently.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
There's a lot of callbacks to old Harley from cartoons and comic books. Especially at the very beginning, it shows her breaking up with people. And at one point, she breaks up with Poison Ivy in the animated thing.
Did they show that? I didn't see a part.
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Which I thought was super clever and really...
I don't even remember that part.
Yeah. Huh. You remember the animated beginning.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've dealt with heartbreak or whatever. And it shows a dude, and then a dude, and then Joker. And then it shows Poison Ivy. And then she's like, whatever. But yeah.
Oh.
I really wish Poison Ivy had been in this.
I do too. She would have fit really well in it, I think.
She would have fit well, but I don't know where you would have put her. Because I feel the cop, you kind of needed the cop.
Yes.
You needed the kid.
Yep.
And then I really liked Canary and Huntress, yep. So like... Maybe if you throw another one in there, it's too many that you're trying to give backstories to, plus you're trying to flesh out character-wise. Because, like, they all pretty much had character except for Cassandra.
Yeah, she was just kind of there.
She was just a kid who pickpocketed stuff.
Yep. And stuck stuff in her
Or cast.
I liked it. I had fun with it.
Yeah.
I don't agree that, like, for me personally, I do agree that there were pacing issues. I don't think there were, like, drastic pacing issues. They were just, my problems is that there's definitely two different movies, it felt like, with Harley Quinn and with everyone else. And when they meshed over, it was good. But for a lot of times, it was just like watching two separate movies. And I was kind of, it felt jarring when they bounced between the two of them. And I wanted it to be a bit smoother because I liked Canary. Like the actress, I think she's got charisma and she was fun to watch on screen. I will always love, God, what's her name? Shit.
Elizabeth.
Oh, fuck.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
And I loved how cheesy and how much they made fun of her.
Her bow and arrows.
Yeah, like she's like, it's not the crossbow killer. Something stupid like that. Like that made it actually, it integrated a very dark character in a very fun way. And I was like, okay, so it's the way you brought it down. Like basically there's a lot of leveling with characters to make them like, the cop is super gritty and has an alcoholic issue and stuff like that and doing a bunch of other shit. And they're like, hey, let's make this here a little funny, a little of this. There's a lot of balancing, but it brought all the characters that it made sense while they were there. I didn't care about Zsasz, so what they did with him didn't bug me. But I can get how that would... They levelated him, essentially. Taking a podcast warrant,
I mean,
they brought everyone to the same level.
They got... Like, Gotham, they got him way better. If you watch him in Gotham, that's how Zsasz is.
Yeah.
Or at least that's a really good interpretation of how Zsasz is.
I don't know Black Mask beyond this. I know the name, but I enjoyed watching. How about this? He wasn't as intimidating as I want him to be because he seemed like more of the flippant... He's a flippant narcissist, but he's not really scary. I think the scariest thing I saw him is like when he was in the club and make that one girl like dance. And I was like, oh, this is weird. Like,
yeah,
that was probably the most intimidating I saw him. But I will tell you the best part that I loved is not expecting him literally to be blown apart. I fucking loved
that. I did not expect that either. I was, because you don't expect them to kill their villains.
And very obviously kill them.
Yeah, like he's blown to bits.
There's no, like, unless you're Darth Maul, you're not coming back from that.
Which, that's another story for another time.
Yeah. Dude, I have to send something to you. It made me very happy about Obi-Wan. I'll show you later.
Okay.
You've probably seen it already, but...
Is it the Mickey and Donald?
No, okay. It's different. That one I like too. But I overall, one is the visual flair of the movie's there.
Yeah.
It's really good. I do like Margot Robbie. I liked how essentially this was kind of a backdoor pilot for whatever they do with Birds of Prey kind of a thing. Again, they're trying Birds of Prey. I have no idea who the cop character is. I won't lie.
It's a cop character as far as I know.
Yeah, I thought there was like some reminiscence or like she was representing somebody. And I also was weird because I thought Ali Wong's character is supposed to be somebody, but I have no idea what. She was just a random person that was there.
I imagine she's going to turn into an Oracle character.
You think so?
An Oracle type character, okay. I would imagine. I mean, I really like this movie and it's fun.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing for a comic book movie. It's just like Shazam. Like, Shazam is a fun movie and a really good, but it's fun. And that's what makes it, like, you could pick apart Shazam and be like, well, this doesn't make sense. This is, but then you're like, no, I'm having fun this entire time. The good thing is they hired, basically the understudies of the dudes who did choreography for John Wick. And then at the guys who did the choreography for John Wick came in and did a couple reshoots. But yeah, the main choreographers are people that do...
The fights felt good. And I actually, one of the things I didn't even think about to mention is they did a lot of pullbacks so you could actually watch the action, which, I mean, fucking love. Because that clown, the funhouse scene actually was fun to watch. It was fun to watch because of the fact that you could see what was going on. It wasn't a lot of, I call it the light switch, lightsaber raves from, like, Clone War, what is it? Attack the Clones? There's a lot of, like, with Dooku's, like, wham, 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 and a bunch of face shots, and you don't get to see the action. For the most part, I got to see action, and I was entertained.
Yeah, I was really entertained. I had a lot of fun. The post-credit, you're right, was dumb.
No, it was,
I wish...
I'm a little sad it didn't do as well. I'm kind of surprised.
Well, it was rated R, and then it seemed like the marketing
was all over the place.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll get... We'll see how this... If it drops more than 50% next week, that's bad. I mean, it's at 33...
Yeah, it'll put it at like 15 million, so...
if it actually stays like about 2/3, I think that's actually decent for this movie. Because that means it'll carry enough weight over there, but I'm just worried. I'm curious to see how it does.
Yeah, I mean, making $33 million is not good. No. But people that have been really burned by DC, and I don't know if they're... Like,
I wonder how Wonder Woman's going to do.
I think Wonder Woman's going to do gangbusters.
God, I hope so. Like, I feel like if Wonder Woman came out before this, and then this came out,
but
I
think it would have been better. Shazam was the last one, and Shazam was fucking amazing.
I think we are very much in the minorities on those, though. Like, there's a ton of people I know that do not like it. Whereas I think Wonder Woman is an easy...
You not like Shazam?
People have bad taste, but it's true. But, like, my thought is that it's very easy for... I feel like Wonder Woman would have been better, like, it would have probably reinvigorated people and then been excited to see a DC movie versus Shazam. We're excited. We like it. A lot of people are like,
meh. Well, maybe it's because it's not doing anything.
Because it's a little, like, bad violin thing for Wonder Woman. I'm done. I'm sorry.
But maybe it's because DC is not building anything. They're just making movies.
Which...
What it feels like right now, which is okay.
It's funny because that's the way I feel about Marvel right now. They're trying
but to Marvel build. Has so much goodwill.
Yeah. But they're just right now they're just
making because like movies. Look, Incredible Hulk fucking bombed.
Yeah, it did.
People don't want
Iron Man 2.
But people went and saw Iron Man 2 because that's when they were like, "Oh,
yeah.
We need to build stuff." Like Iron Man was proof of concept and then they were like, "Well, let's fucking do it." I don't know what this does for DC from here because I mean, we know we've got Wonder Woman. We know we've got the Batman at some point.
Aquaman 2.
Has it been confirmed yet?
Yeah, I mean, there's talks about possibly kicking Amber Heard off of it.
Right, which makes sense. But, like, I understand, like, the odds of Aquaman 2 are extremely high.
Yeah, Momoa's star is pretty high on
that. And I think Shazam 2 was greenlit, if I remember correctly.
I never saw confirmation on that. I saw Black Adam is confirmed.
Yes, but which might be... I mean... It might be Shazam 2, which is fine. I mean, are they going to continue to do Harley movies?
I would actually like to see... Well, that's the thing, because this movie ends with them essentially separating the three off to pray, and Harley and Cassandra Cain doing their own thing.
Yes.
But, like, literally, that could just be... Yeah, that could literally just be it. That could be the end of the series of whatever they do with this movies, and this movie stands alone as, and that's fine. Because it doesn't really set expectations, really.
Oh, I mean, you don't need a sequel.
No.
At least, the only character that you need to continue... I mean, Canary's awesome.
Yeah.
Huntress is awesome. But the only one that kind of needs to keep going is Harley.
Yeah.
Harley's the only one that's kind of in the mainstream consciousness.
And I just wonder if that's enough. And what do you do with it from here?
I mean, can you do a third Suicide Squad, essentially? Like, this is a reboot of Suicide Squad.
James Gunn does have that.
Oh, movie. Yeah, Suicide Squad is coming out.
So that could be, like, literally, this could be, like, the segue back into Suicide Squad kind of thing. Like, literally, it could be, like, Suicide Squad and then veer off to the right and then veer back again.
I mean, it could be cool to see what they do, like, 3 years down the line. Like, right now, we don't know what their plan is, but maybe they actually have a plan and they're just doing, like, these solo movies that aren't solo movies.
But they're building consciousness.
But they're all intertwined. We just don't know it yet. Like, where Marvel was like, this movie pertains to this movie, which pertains to this. Maybe they're going to have that, but it's more subtle than what Marvel did with theirs.
It could be. I'm curious. Like, again, I'm really curious to see what the other Suicide Squad, because I actually didn't... I didn't hate Suicide Squad. It had its issues, but I had fun with it.
I watched it again, and I was like,
I haven't watched it again, so I probably should.
Yeah.
And I'd probably be like,
Yeah, it doesn't age. Like, at all.
Yeah.
But it's not BVS bad.
Yeah. Well, fuck, I haven't watched BVS in forever either. No.
I was like, I kind of want to watch BVS. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
You have a Stockholm syndrome. Like, Jesus. I've been wanting to watch Dark Knight again recently. And fuck.
There's nothing wrong with watching Dark Knight.
Yeah, again. I just have to be in the... Like, I'm like, am I in the mood? No.
Well, it's like I told you when we were at the gym. I was like, I want to watch Heath Ledger as Joker.
Yep.
I don't really want to watch Dark Knight, but, like, one comes with the other one. Just like, I'm halfway through, and I was like, well, I guess I'm watching Dark Knight now.
You're like, well, here you go. Here we go.
Yeah, I actually really like this movie. I am going to recommend seeing it.
I am too.
It's one of those times where I'm actually going to be like, just turn your brain off and watch a comic book movie. If you are overanalyzing it, you're going to find a lot wrong with it. And if you're a fan of Zazz, you're really going to find a lot wrong with it. If you're a fan of Canary, I feel that she got kind of nerfed a little bit.
She's weird. Yeah. I'll say go see it. I had fun with it. Again, do agree with the shut your brain off. If you see the trailer, honestly, that sets the best tone for you.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's eclectic, it's really pretty, and it's not always going to come together, but that's okay. Just let it be for what it is. And you put it very well that it is probably the closest to a comic book movie, like what a comic book would look like on a movie screen.
Yeah, other than like Into the Spider-Verse, but that was animated.
Dude, yeah.
So that doesn't...
That's live action.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
But I had fun with it. I wanted more from Huntress and Canary, which is, I think, a good want.
Yeah.
But I think that they gave me just
enough. You don't want your secondary characters to be there too much, where you're like, I wish they weren't there as much.
I did want it more balanced, I think. I wanted less Harley and more of them, because I found them interesting and I liked the way they presented them a bit. I do agree that Canary was kind of hamstrung because they needed her to be a certain way to make the movie flow. But still, again, regardless, I would say go see it. It was fun.
Yeah. All right. So we both say go and see Birds of Prey.
That's easier to say.
It is. Yeah, we're gonna leave it at Birds of Prey. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 344 of Sprague and Say Geek. So for Sprague and Say Geek, I'm Bat.
And I'm Aaron.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.